Chapter 1. Bruised and Wounded. The poet Hafiz wrote a poem nearly 700 years ago entitled, "We Should Talk About This Problem." In that poem, God addresses a wounded soul. "There is a beautiful creature living in a hole you have dug, and I often sing, but still, my dear, you do not come out. I have fallen in love with someone who hides inside of you." That's God's feeling, and perhaps ours too, when someone is in a suicidal depression. Few things can so devastate us as the suicide of a loved one. There's the horrific shock of losing a loved one so suddenly that just of itself can bring us to our knees. But with suicide, there are other soul-wrenching feelings too. Confusion, guilt, second-guessing, religious anxiety. Where did we fail this person? What might we still have done? What is this person's state with God? What needs to be said about this? First, that suicide is a disease, and generally the most misunderstood of all sicknesses. It takes a person out of life against his or her will, the emotional equivalent of cancer, a stroke, or a heart attack. Second, we, those left behind, need not spend undue energy second-guessing as to how we might have failed that person, what we should have noticed, and what we might have done to prevent the suicide. Suicide is an illness, and as with any sickness, we can love someone and still not be able to save that person from death. God loved this person too, and like us, could not, this side of eternity, do anything either. Finally, we shouldn't worry too much about how God meets this person on the other side. God's love, unlike ours, can go through locked doors and touch what will not allow itself to be touched by us. Is this making light of suicide? No. Anyone who has ever dealt with either the victim of a suicide before his or her death, or with those grieving that death afterward, knows that it is impossible to make light of it. There is no pain like the one suicide inflicts. Nobody who is healthy wants to die, and nobody who is healthy seeks to burden his or her loved ones with this kind of pain. And that's the point. This is only done when someone isn't healthy. The fact that medication can often prevent suicide should tell us something. Suicide in most cases is an illness, not a sin. Nobody who is healthy willingly decides to die by suicide and burden his or her loved ones with that death any more than anyone willingly chooses to die of cancer and cause pain. The victim of suicide, in most cases, is a trapped person caught up in a fiery, private chaos that has its roots both in his or her psyche and in his or her biochemistry. Suicide, in most cases, is a desperate attempt to end unendurable pain, akin to one throwing oneself off a high building because one's clothing is on fire. Many of us have known victims of suicide, and we know, too, that in almost every case, that person was not full of pride, haughtiness, and the desire to hurt anyone. Generally, it's the opposite. The victim has cancerous problems precisely because he or she is wounded, raw, and too bruised to have the resiliency needed to deal with life. Those of us who have lost loved ones to suicide know that the problem is not one of strength, but of weakness. The person is too bruised to be touched. I remember a comment I overheard at a funeral for a suicide victim. The priest had preached badly, hinting that this suicide was somehow the man's own fault and that suicide is always the ultimate act of despair. At the reception afterward, a neighbor of the victim expressed his displeasure at the priest's homily. "There are a lot of people in this world who should kill themselves," he lamented, "but those kind never do. This man is the last person who should have killed himself because he was one of the most sensitive people I've ever met." A book could be written on that statement. Too often it's the meek who seemingly lose the battle in this world. Finally, we shouldn't worry too much about how God meets our loved ones who have fallen victim to suicide. God, as Jesus assures us, has a special affection for those of us who are too bruised and wounded to be touched. Jesus assures us, too, that God's love can go through locked doors and into broken places and free up what's paralyzed and help that which can no longer help itself. God is not blocked when we are. God can reach through. And so our loved ones who have fallen victim to suicide are now inside of God's embrace, enjoying a freedom they could never quite enjoy here, and being healed through a touch that they could never quite accept from us. Nothing more painful. There is perhaps nothing more painful in the world than for us to lose a loved one to suicide. A couple of months ago, I received a letter from a woman, a mother, who had recently lost her 28-year-old son in this manner. The young man had been suffering from clinical depression for nearly 8 years when he took his own life. Her letter to me betrayed a healthy understanding at some deep level of what had happened, as well as all the unhealthy fear and second-guessing we all have when we are confronted with the suicide of a loved one. She recognized that his death was, in the end, due to illness, not to malice or weakness, that he had a gentle soul, and that God understands. She shared the intuition that her son is now in heaven. At the same time, she worried, as we all do, whether her son had now found peace, and where, if anywhere, she had failed him. She also worried that her faith was not strong enough because it was not giving her the type of consolation that she felt it should. Her pain is deep, but it is also wide. Thousands of parents and families and friends of suicide victims around the world are enduring similar pain. There are, as for all the great mysteries of life, no definitive answers that dissolve all pain and questioning. But there are some important perspectives of which we must never lose sight. First of all, at this time in our history, for all kinds of reasons, suicide is still perhaps the most misunderstood of all deaths. We still tend to think that because it is self-inflicted, it is voluntary in a way that death through physical illness or accident is not. As I have said, for most suicides, this is not true. A person dying of suicide dies, as does the victim of physical illness or accident, against his or her will. People die from physical heart attacks, strokes, cancer, HIV, AIDS, and accidents. Death by suicide is the same, except that we are dealing with an emotional heart attack, an emotional stroke, emotional HIV, AIDS, emotional cancer, and an emotional fatality. This comparison is not an analogy. These two kinds of heart attacks, strokes, cancers, and accidents are indeed identical. In neither case is the person responsible for his or her own death, nor does the person leave this world of his or her own will. Second, in most cases, we should not worry about the victim's eternal salvation. God is infinitely more understanding than we are, and God's hands are infinitely more gentle than ours. Imagine a loving mother, having just given birth, welcoming her child onto her breast for the first time, and then you will have some image of how the suicide victim is received into the next life. Again, this is not an analogy. God is infinitely more gentle, loving, understanding, and motherly than even the most perfect mother on earth. We need not worry much when an honest, oversensitive, gentle, overwrought, and emotionally crushed person leaves this world, even if that exit was far from ideal. However, even given that truth, we should not expect that our faith will take away all the pain of losing a loved one through suicide. Faith is not meant to take the pain away, but rather to precisely give us the sense that the one we lost is in far gentler hands than our own, and is now, after so much pain, finally at peace. Faith gives us insight, but does not of itself take away the pain of loss and death. Finally, we, the living who loved that person, must refrain from second-guessing ourselves with every kind of haunting question. What else might I have done? Where did I let this person down? If only I had been there. What if? We are human beings, not God. People die of illnesses and accidents all the time, and all the love and attentiveness in the world sometimes cannot prevent death. With suicide, we must recognize. With suicide, we must recognize that we are dealing with an illness that, like cancer or heart disease, can be terminal, irrespective of every human effort to restore health. There are sicknesses that no humans can cure. We can grieve our inadequacy as humans, but we are not God. Ultimately, we must take consolation in the fact that we loved as best we could, and that we have not really lost this person. He or she went back to God. Our job now is not to second guess, but to trust. Trust that God is far more gentle and understanding than we are, and that God, who is adequate, can give this person a peace that we never could.